ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sometimes golf is a pain in the butt. You hit your ball in the trees and then you lip out the putt. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Because now you're listening to the Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome down to the yet award-winning Rough Cut Golf Podcast. As you can see, the captain is not here this week, but we're going to do our very, very best. Well, actually, and that's actually a lie, he might be making a little bit of an entrance.
He's going to pop in at some point.
He's not here, but he's going to be on the podcast.
Yes, yes, yeah, because we had a bit of an emergency call with him. Pete currently is on holiday in Dubai with his fiancée, Carly. Yeah, we're going to be just having a little 20-minute chat because there's a big thing that has emerged this week in the world of YouTube. Not just YouTube golf, but also like just the world of golf.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like Batman when the thing goes up. There's a little Peter Finch golf thing that just comes up in the sky. We need to get in contact with him.
Just a silhouette of a Finch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that's a starling.
He's tweeting. He knows about.
Yeah. Use the wrong bird you have.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, we'll be talking about the Genesis Open and then also we'll be doing the Tenable game at the end as well. So, but yeah, before we get into that, how was everyone's weekend? Was it all right?
Yeah, no, I spent the weekend in Swansea. It was very nice. Very got nice. To see Ipswich win, which is always a good tick.
Who did Ipswich beat?
Swansea.
Excellent.
It's funny that.
And was it on the television?
No, but we are on the television tonight. Thank you very much. So if everyone wants to tune in to watch Ipswich versus Rotherham and watch a McKenna ball, then you're more than welcome to.
Predict the score.
It's going to be 3-0 Ipswich.
Is that at home or is it
It's
away?
At home. All right, okay. Against bottom of the table Rotherham.
Are you doing bits at the moment?
We're doing bits.
Wow.
Have you gone out the top two, though?
We're third at the minute, yeah.
Yeah, so. I saw that, because Leeds have just kind of been on a bit of a rampage.
I could talk about this for an hour. Yeah. Like, we could go into some detail, but we're fourth at the minute.
That's actually very rude of me as well. We've got the best guest on.
What we should have done is, hello, 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 welcome to the podcast. Today we have a ridiculously special guest for you.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
dressed in Sunday red.
Yeah, very good.
David Barwise, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Do you know what, David? Popular demand.
Do you know what? Yeah, I was just going to say, every time you're on the podcast, all the comments are, God, David's funny. Love David. Yeah. How does it feel to be back?
A lot of pressure. All of a sudden. Also, there was a point where you said, Pete's going to actually feature in this. I thought, I'm going to be manhandled out of my chair. Yeah.
No, we're not going to manhandle
you. Put your best accent on and do the best to replicate his voice.
He's going
to
mask you out and just put Pete's face. In fact, we're going to use all of that AI technology we use on the thumbnails to remove you and place Peter in your place.
Talking of AI, though, have you seen and the videos? Have you seen the new stuff today?
Sora. Yeah.
We're in trouble.
Tell me, what does it do?
So basically, it's the same people that do.
It's like OpenAI.
It's OpenAI, so they do ChatGPT. Yeah. I can't remember the image. What that's DALL-E.
Yes, DALL-E. Yeah.
So they're kind of spearheading like all of the innovative stuff in the world of AI. Can't even speak.
You're on a podcast. That's one of the things you're going to need to do for the next hour.
It's downhill from here.
This news is overwhelming, to be honest.
Does it mean that like our jobs are in a bit of...
We're in a pickle.
We're in a pickle.
I'm going to bring you kicking and screaming down with me. But basically, they've released their video version of AI, and it is freakishly
good. It was really good. Like, so as we've seen with like Photoshop, with the generative AI stuff they do, where you literally just type in kind of what you want, give a description of what you want the video to look like, and it creates it, and it is freaky. Wow.
Peter Finch gets a hole in one on the 18th at the Old Course in front of Rory and Tiger.
I mean, give it a go,
please. You don't. Have you seen the people who are like really? I mean, I try to be quite polite to ChatGPT. You're like, please, will you generate me a, if it's not too much trouble, will you? You've got to be nice to it, because when the computers take over, you don't want to be the one getting...
They'll remember that you're the one.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, he was really polite, actually. We won't murder him.
Turn off his button.
No, I think we're going to be okay for a little bit longer, but it's,
Like at the
next sort of 10 years.
Yeah, it's at the we're probably going to be okay because it's going to help us, but then it's going to get better and better and better. Like there's one thing where you can put in like a reference video and it'll take it and it will automatically change stuff for you. So we could take, let's say, a video of Peter Finch swinging and say, we want this to be at a scenic Augusta-based golf club, and
good lord,
yeah.
So, and that's hold on, how do we set it up for success? If we film an entire course vlog, I'm doing the bunny ears thing for people not watching on YouTube. If we do an entire course vlog of him like talking through as if he was playing a golf course in Georgia, could we then like if we filmed it on green screen, would that help it?
Maybe, yeah.
I think it probably would.
Because it doesn't have to remove anything.
Yeah, it would just then go on top of that.
Right, so we film an entire course vlog in front of a green screen. Like, oh, just got 191, just going to hit a 6-iron. Oh, I've got to get under these trees. And then we get the AI to generate it for us.
It's like Peter understanding
Finch,
of...
16 under par Augusta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's understanding of like shadow and like reflection and stuff. And it does all of that so perfectly. And I mean, if you're looking at it, it'd be really interesting to just put it in front of someone and just be like, you tell me, you know, what do you notice?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would naturally think, that's created by AI, which is the scary part of how good it's getting. But anyway.
Can it do a bird hive sequence? I don't know.
No one can do it as well as you.
That's such a niche reference, that.
Can it do shot traces?
That's going to be the big thing.
To be honest, I wouldn't mind that.
You'll get your time down from 4 minutes to 2 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah,
find the impact frame of this footage and mark it for me so that I don't have to... And then track the ball flight and then make the tracer fly out after the ball land. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
We're getting there. But that's in the world of AI that's kind of... We're not talking about that too much.
In the world of kind of more real golf, the reason that we got Kieran to have a chat with Pete is because you may have seen on the old social meds recently a lot of... a kind of YouTube-y and Instagram-y people committing to a Myrtle Beach Classic qualifying event. Talk us through what the heck it is. When did we first hear about it? How did Pete get in?
It was a few months ago.
Yes,
I think that it's kind of been building and boiling under the surface. So I guess that in essence, it's 16 golfers, because I don't really want to put, you know, coin that, because it's not all just golf influencers and YouTubers. You know, it's a
couple of Korn Ferry Tour.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got the YouTube guys, and then you've got some really good college players. You've got some Korn Ferry Tour guys that are basically going to play off in this one event, single event qualifier, 16 golfers, and whoever wins gets to play in the PGA Tour, which it's just a unbelievable thing to think that Peter Finch is one round of golf away.
Maybe
65 hits of a golf ball away from from in the PGA Tour.
61.
Yeah, he probably needs to go lower than that, to be fair.
The competition is looking quite stiff. Not just from the YouTube-y, social media-y type people, but of course, like you said, there are some
big
very talented college people. There's some Korn Ferry people. I personally, I don't know about you lot, but I would put Pete up against any of the YouTube-y people on his day. Very, very close.
Yeah.
He's beating almost everyone, in my opinion. The people who I think may have a little advantage over him are the kind of people who have competition experience much more recently, who have played in these big events before and know how to handle the pressure of the 6 foot putt that you need to qualify.
Yeah.
How do you think he's going to do against the, does he win it?
I don't want to rule it out.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we need to kind of find out how he's actually feeling first.
Should we talk to the actual man?
Yeah, let's actually talk to him. And then
should I leave?
And then we can give our kind of like, you know, opinions on how he's feeling about it.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's go to Pete.
Right, and we are joined down by Pete Finch over in Dubai. Sorry to interrupt your holiday, but obviously we've got some breaking news over from the world of YouTube golf. I'm sure you've heard the news. What are your takes on it?
Have I heard the news, Kieran? Kieran, I'm part of said news. I am intertwined with the news. It is impossible to not hear of it when I was part of the group that conceived of it, if that makes any sense.
Yes, you are one of the 16, an absolute esteemed lineup. What are your feelings about it?
He just swallowed a dictionary this morning or something. Don't try and pretend to the world that things have happened in this absence. Don't pretend like you've just taken an A level in English language. Just talk to me like a normal human being, please. Come on. Just because we're separated by a few thousand miles, like we don't need to like put on this persona. All right. Just treat this like you're having a normal conversation to me, please.
It's
going to make me feel a lot less uncomfortable.
So obviously rattling off a few of the names: Grant Horvat, Pat Perez, yourself, Buster Jack, Michael Morris, George Bryan, an absolute incredible field. Obviously, you're out in Dubai right now practicing. How are you feeling about your game at the moment?
I mean, the round that I've had this morning has not filled me with any confidence at all. I was absolutely awful. When you start going through that list, as soon as you start hitting the names that you might not have heard of from the YouTube space, like those guys are the proper players. You know, there's people there who've shot, you know, I think one of them shot 59. You know, there's winners on mini tours. There's a lot of very, very good players there. If one of the players from the group of influencers actually manages to kind of make it through, that would be a fantastic story in itself, because there are a lot of very, very good players going for this spot. If I am going to ascertain my chances by how I've played today, hopefully I won't finish last. it was a pretty tight close affair. I'm gonna do some practice and then hopefully I can come out the other side. It doesn't help that I'm absolutely shattered, but we're gonna try and get through it.
Very good. And so where did you play this morning? At Jumeirah?
The Earth course.
Right, you're on the big boy course.
Yeah, and it's a tough course anyway. And to be honest, it's a course that I've never particularly got on with. I've always found it really hard.
Yeah,
and that 18th hole, like if a stray nuclear bomb, like just happened to go off, like if it could potentially take the 18th hole of the Earth course at Jumeirah Golf Estates with it, like it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Honestly, I think that might be the worst golf hole in the world. It is just horrendous.
What did you shoot on it?
I managed to get a par, but I almost went in the water, obviously. But like, I don't know what Greg Norman was sniffing when he designed that, but it must have been strong stuff.
Yeah.
Just awful. Of all the dodgy things that Greg Norman has done in the last few years, that supersedes everything. Like, I'd let him off everything.
Yeah.
If he came back and redesigned that golf hole. Sorry, ran over.
No worries.
But my short game also is absolutely shocking at the moment. So I'm going to go and have a practice at the Tommy Fleetwood Academy this afternoon and hopefully straighten a few things out.
Very, very good. And so obviously with this Myrtle Beach Classic and, you know, with this sponsorship, you know, exemption, you know, that you guys are getting involved in, do you think that this is kind of like the start? We're going to start to see a bit more of this. Obviously, we saw it with the Bryan Bros, with George Bryan, you know, with that. Do you think we're going to start to see even more of this?
If the standard of golf on YouTube keeps getting higher, so the people who are making videos and who are currently making videos as well, if the standard keeps improving. And I don't see why not, because really sponsors exemptions for tour events, they're usually given to like a young up-and-coming player, or they're kind of given to some better well-known names from the tour who won't have qualified for that event by the normal mean. So this is a way for kind of Myrtle Beach to really get a lot of eyeballs on the event and bring interest from this YouTube social media space that maybe wouldn't otherwise be interested. I mean, we've got to be a little bit careful because we live within this bubble, we live within this space, but the amount of comments and the amount of people who are getting involved and chatting about how they wouldn't normally be interested in an event like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lower ranking PGA Tour event. But if one of the guys who they follow and they watch on a weekly basis qualifies, then they will be watching. So,
yeah,
you know, I think as far as Myrtle Beach are concerned, I think it's a really good, really smart move. And the amount of attention that it's generating already probably goes on to show that, I think.
100%. And like, even looking at like just people that I follow on my own personal account and the amount of people that I've seen share about this, it's just massive. So, like, even that way, it's, you know, the amount of eyeballs it's already getting is huge.
Yeah, and like I said, we need to be careful because we do live in this world, so it's potential that it just becomes a bit of an echo chamber. You know, we hear great things and people say it's great, but the more important thing in many respects really is how people who don't watch YouTube or don't really know much about this space are actually kind of taking the news. I've seen some tasty takes from across the traditional media, shall we say.
Yeah, so I think there was we're going to pop up one of the news reports here from Golf Digest. I mean, I actually only saw it from Mac Boucher, who isn't actually playing in this event, but was very sort of, you know, got the ump about the fact that there, one of those reports was saying, like, if you're going to try and attempt to go on the PGA Tour, all you've got to do is say, please like and subscribe. You know, the very next story of Mac's one was like Golf Digest, even that day, saying, oh, can we reshare your content? So it's, yeah, it was kind of like, it's sort of two faces, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Someone said that it kind of looked like Golf Digest were almost trying to be a gatekeeper and trying to be a kind of purveyor of what type of player should be in these events. And, you know, to kind of say that, it seemed a little bit sour. It seemed like a bit bitter, and it seemed a little bit unnecessary. But from my point of view, it doesn't really matter, because like, it's not about golf magazines. You know, this whole kind of event and what Myrtle Beach are doing, it supersedes traditional types of media. It's all about bringing in a new audience and a new wave of golfers who are through social media and not turning to traditional sources like magazines, newspapers, or, you know, even TV. So the joy of living in a free and open society here.
Yes, no, exactly right. Yeah, just to look at some of the other names here. So probably the names that you touched on earlier, but people don't know, like Scott Stevens, Jay Card, Jamie Wilson, like these are all, from what I understand, Korn Ferry Tour players.
Yeah, a lot of them have like done Korn Ferry, a lot of them have been really good college players. I mean, to be honest, like the easiest way of doing it, what I did is I just went down the list, and as soon as I didn't recognize someone from YouTube, I started Googling them. And it became pretty clear that whoever qualifies from this kind of one day shootout, you know, they're going to be a good player.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, paper, like, we've got a 1 in 16 chance, but in reality, you know, I'm going to have to play my very, very, very best golf and get lucky to even have a sniff.
Yeah.
At this.
Yeah. 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 But does it, like, if you actually, has it sunk in that you are essentially one round from the PGA Tour?
Not really, but to be honest, if you don't get through, you don't get through. It's not like even if like a miracle happened and you managed to actually get through, it's not really going to change. It's not really going to change anything.
Yeah.
Like even if I scabbed it through and, you know, I started thinning it and, you know, it a few pins and like got lucky and just had one of those rounds where everything falls into place. If I went on to that actual event, you know, I'd quite happily shoot 78 and go home happy.
I had a look, and the purse for Myrtle Beach is 3.9 million with 300 FedEx points up for grabs.
Is that it? Well, you know, even if I qualify, I might not bother now. You know, it's just not worth my time, Kieran.
It's not enough. You want the Rolex events?
I need to see those dollar bills, mate. You know what I mean? Unless it's an elevated no cut event, I'm not bothered anymore.
Oh dear. Well, it's good that you're getting your practice in and everything. So
You know what? I'm trying to use this as Kieran now. You know, now I'm playing in these events as, you know, a player.
Yeah.
I reckon if I get through and qualify for a PJ event, I reckon I might get a few lib offers. You know, actually taking that money you're offering me, give it back to your design company, get your ass back to the 18th of the Earth course, rip up that abomination that you made and start again. And then I might consider it.
Are you playing the Earth again this afternoon? Or are you playing the Fire? Or what are you just, you're going to go down and just grind?
I can only play that course once a year, Kieran. It makes me too mad otherwise. Maybe twice a year. No, I'm going to go have a grind. Like, I scrapped it around today. There were some good points, but like, I need to it really feels like today and from this point onwards, like the golf season's kind of started for me.
Yeah.
So I need to get practice in. I need to get kind of grinding. Short game is nowhere near where it needs to be. Honestly, yeah. I was hitting some chips today, and I just had absolutely no clue what I was doing, like at all. Like, it just wasn't good. I felt like Rick. it just wasn't good. So I need to sort that out. And my putting wasn't good. I didn't feel like Matt Fryer. I know that.
Well, we've got a couple of videos coming out this week with obviously the next episode of Quest for the Open, but also your putter video as well. So we're gonna. Are you happy with your choice?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, honestly, it's just the greens over here are really struggling with them because they're very grainy. So. Actually reading grain and trusting grain is something that we don't get a lot of kind of back in the UK. And I kind of struggle with the whole process of it. Maybe a bit of practice on that might be worthwhile.
And will you get any sort of practice rounds before? Like, how many practice rounds do you reckon you'll have at the actual course before you play it? Like one or two?
I just said, I don't think I need any practice rounds, Kieran. All I need to be doing, I'm just like a finely tuned engine. You just point me in the right direction and I'm good to go. I don't need no practice round.
Are you going to do a classic sort of like YouTube rock up to the first tee, no practice? You just...
I mean, I got here early this morning. I was about 45 minutes before a tee time, which is unheard of for me.
Yeah.
Like, I had a full warm-up, wedges all the way through to drive. I felt great. Onto the first hole. Bish, bash, bosh. Double bogey. Thanks for coming. So... I honestly think warming up is completely overrated. Go watch the video we did with Swing Quest, 5 minute warm up.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Right. Well, I think that's a pretty good insight into how you're feeling about it. Obviously, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I know you are kind of on holiday at the moment, so but we just need to get your brief opinions about how you're feeling and everything like that.
Absolutely no problem. Was that like a question or was that like a
No, just like a statement, just saying like if there's anything else, just, anything else you wanted to add, and like it's saying that I've only got 7 minutes left, so I'm a bit worried about that.
Well, obviously I'll pay for the premium subscription. I'm gonna go practice. Oh, actually, no, I might have a bit of a nap. I'm so tired.
What's the temperature out there?
A bit cooler today. I think it's like low 20s, like 23, 24. It's got all the way down to where the hot air balloons were taking up from, and it got cancelled.
Oh no.
So Carly is a treat. This time round, she basically booked it again.
Right.
So it's a bit of a surprise for me. So I told us the day before, I was like, great. So again, got up at 4, got picked up, got all the way out there, and it got cancelled again.
I mean,
in all fairness, I was kind of laughing. So I just knew it was gonna happen. Like, there was no way that Karma was going to look at me and say, you know what, yeah, this time it's just going to screw me a little bit more, and it did. So yeah, absolutely from that.
That is not ideal.
Here's what it is. I've decided, Kieran, I'm just going to focus on land-based activities.
It's just the thing with hot air balloons thing, though, because my dad tried to do one once. They need like no wind, from what I understand.
It's a scam, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all a scam. What I'm convinced of, because like as soon as we finished, they were like, okay, so you can get your refund or you can rebook for another day. Like some people rebooked onto the next day, and I don't know if they went up the next day, but it was windy the next morning, so I doubt it.
Yeah.
So I think what they're relying on is people to forget to ask for their money back. I actually think there's no balloons. I am now convinced that there's no hot air balloons in the entire world, and it's all just a big scam. Yeah. You know what, yeah. Kieran? I'm done. I'm done with the air. And you already know my opinions about the ocean. Yeah. So now I'm just going to stick to the land-based activities where we belong. You know my theory about the oceans, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's just to let everyone else kind of know my theory of the oceans is that, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago, our ancient ancestors decided that living in the sea was so rubbish that they crawled out, got on land, and never looked back. So who am I and who are we to think, you know what, I think we should go back into the ocean? No. Our ancient ancestors decided that it was so crap there that land was a better alternative. So I'm going to embrace my heritage. I'm going to embrace my DNA. I'm going to hear their call from deep within my, I don't know, what's the old part of the brain? I can't remember. I'm going to listen to the ancestors' call from deep within my body, and I'm going to stick to the land.
Yeah, I'll leave you to it. You go and have a nice iced coffee, and we'll get back to the main episode.
Okay. Enjoy it without me.
Right. See you later. Bye.
Wonderful. So Pete is it looks like he has enjoyed himself and has now decided that the grind time has has arrived.
Yeah.
Which is great, because when in fact this trip may not have even happened, because when we came back from Arizona, the golf clubs got completely lost by BA.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. So what is all this?
Okay, so this is the drama. Peter Finch should never be allowed to book flights for anyone other than himself. Because what he did was he put I had my luggage bag, which had all my clothes and stuff in it. Yeah. And then he put the golf bag, which is full of his golf clubs, on my ticket.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I arrive. I didn't know this. I arrive into...
Of course. Why would he tell you?
Why would he communicate at all? First of all, he put Sam's name in wrong. So we're trying to get to America. At every juncture, Sam gets pulled to the side and they go, "This, your passport and your name doesn't match." Because Sam has got two middle names. Yeah. When Pete put it into the system, the system assumed that the first middle name was his middle name and the second middle name was his surname. So none of his things said Forrest on them, which is his real surname. So he had to go and be like, "Listen, this is what's happened." Each time the person at the desk had to ring to the previous person and find out whether it was the truth, rebook him a new ticket, chaos. Anyway, the bags. We get into Heathrow. I don't know that the golf bags are on my account. The golf bag doesn't show up. But what the lady says to me is, "Oh, it's Mr. Warwick." And I said, "Yes, actually it is." And she's expecting a treat.
Like, "Oh, happy to be back in the country."
Yeah, welcome back, sir. She said, "Oh, your bag hasn't made it from Heathrow to Manchester." And I was like, for God's sake. Great, it's got my clothes in it. I start filling in this form. I put the details of the bag in, the size, what it logos on it, where I want it delivered. Then it comes off the rail.
What do you mean? Really?
Then my clothes bag comes off the rail and I'm like, "Oh, well, what bag is it then?"
Yeah.
And Pete goes, "Oh, the golf bag's on yours." So I've given them the wrong color, the wrong size, the wrong contents, the wrong address and the wrong contact details. So then I'm sat there, you know, in the middle of the night waiting for them to come deliver this giant big golf bag, which doesn't arrive the first day because they don't ring the doorbell. Great. Yeah. So the next morning, on my weekend, when I'm supposed to be enjoying myself, I'm sat there like waiting for this golf bag to arrive. The guy turns up, pulls the golf bag is red. It's a beautiful Oggio travel golf bag. It's red with flowers on it. The guy pulls out, green one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
God's sake. No, so not only have you not delivered it on the day you said you're going to deliver it. When you have actually come to deliver it, it's not the right bag in the first place.
Oh my God.
Calls out green one. And I go, whoa. That's not the one. He goes, no, it's back there. Pulls out the red
patience.
I panicked. So the trip may not have even happened if all of that nonsense hadn't got sorted
this
out.
He'd done this before. So when he went to, do you remember when he went to PXG on his own and he was taking his golf clubs? He did the same trip where he went from Manchester to London, London to England, and that's where he lost his clubs and all of his clothes and everything like that. Whereas I don't know why he does it, because that seems to be a bit of an issue around that era.
He throws always. Ever since there was that big thing about like the lack of staff and all that kind of thing, you saw those pictures, all the bags. Yeah. But it's always been a Lehman nightmare.
When we went straight from London to Phoenix, that was fine. It's that kind of changeover.
It's the change. If we had driven to London and then flown, it would have been. It's the transfer between him.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So he's taken his clubs. He's gone out and grinded. It's worrying to hear him say that his chipping's not feeling good.
Mm. Yeah, chipping and just the short game in general.
I first joined, and Pete's short game was like that was his best part of his game by far. I remember his bunker play was awesome. Not to say that it has its moments now, but he would always just like rest his game on his short game. It would get him out of so many sticky situations. And it's fine now, but like it's almost things have just started to overtake, and maybe it's having the simulator in the office that he just whack, and then just doesn't hit any putts, doesn't hit any chips. Yeah. And we always complain on the sim about like that chip wasn't correct because we thought we've hit it right. And so you don't get any kind of perception of how it's meant to be reacting on the sim.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to shut shop down for a bit and get him outside in the elements or something.
I think like when the summer comes around, he'll have far less of an excuse as to why his short game sucks because there's no reason that he can't go and hit chips and putts around a green somewhere. We've got access to it very close to us. So I think you're right. From my perspective, his driving is some of his best. Currently, his long game is like very, very good. But the reason I'm surprised about the short game is because in California and Arizona, he was very good.
Really good.
Very good short game.
It also sounds, by the sound of things, this announcement's come out, and he knew it was sort of coming, but it's now come out and it's in the public, and he's like, oh no, I gotta go play.
He's kind of scared a little bit, and he's just like, oh God, right, I need to.
Well, yeah, if he's not been doing anything for the last 7 days, then it's gone, I need to go hit a ball.
He looks tired as well.
He is tired, yeah, because obviously we're hearing about that, that hot air balloon thing, you know, when he had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go, and then it was too windy, so they couldn't do it. But so he's pretty tired.
Tired, short game struggling. He's not feeling positive about it.
Yeah, but he's going to win. Playing on the Earth course as well, like obviously that's a very difficult course, and then he hates that 18th hole and stuff like that. It's just like...
Oh. What's the course in... Because you guys have been to Dubai with Pete before. Mm-hmm. What's the course that you guys have played? You played the Earth course.
We've done, you got the Faldo, which is the floodlit, and then you've got the Majlis, which is where they do the Desert Classic. Mm-hmm. You've got the Elves Club. You've got Montgomery. You've got
Alzora,
which is a bit further out. You've got Trump. You've got Dubai Hills. You've got Dubai Creek. We've got some of those
on the sim as well, haven't we?
We've got plenty.
Yeah. Oh,
I've played them.
In
8-bit.
Yeah. so if we had to all pick like one area, what would everyone say? So you would say, what's everyone going?
What that he needs to improve on.
Yeah, needs to improve on. Yeah. Mm. What would you say, David?
This might be a bit of a shock, but generally speaking, his irons. I know he's hitting it really, really well at the moment. But whenever we worry about his putting, normally it's a case of he's had to make like 5 10-footers in a row.
Yeah.
And well, if he's not hitting it close enough that he gets 2 puts from 10-foot, that's where the issues come from. Because then all of a sudden he's putting stress on that part of his game. And when he like frees himself up a little bit, it's like you say, he's like he was when we kind of first met him, where he just didn't think about it.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point. Yeah, it's getting rid of those... you know, having to 2-putt from 40 foot instead of beating himself, even 30, 20 foot to make those kind of putts. I think I think I would back what he's saying and say his short game is kind of where I'd like to see him improve a little bit. I think he can be quite streaky with a putter. He's one of those guys that he's never, you know, I don't want to toot his own horn too much, but Matt Fryer, every time we've played with him or filmed with him, usually consistently putts very well.
Yeah.
Pete can have hot and cold days. So if we could kind of, you know, close that in a little bit more, and then just getting that short game back to what it was, because he was so good around the greens.
Yeah, he's got it, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's there somewhere. Yeah, it is there.
Kieran?
I think for me, it's like, just to elaborate on the putting, it's for me, and this is like, not just for this event, but just for the whole of the year. I love how we're like critiquing him while he's not here, by the way.
Pete, make sure you watch this back. Hopefully watch this back. Tick these things off over the course of the next few months.
Don't give the man a chance to defend himself.
But no, Pete is on
the
green.
His face is his worst aspect.
Yeah. Now, Pete on the greens, Pete loves to die putts in. He loves to see a break sort of go in. I just love him to be a little bit more aggressive, mm-hmm. you know, just sort of, you know, come in a little bit on a line where, you know, we can hit it a little bit harder and take the break out. That's just what I'd love him to do. It's such a simple and easy thing to do, but I just think that it will help him a lot, because so many times last year I saw him either leave it short or like just, I don't know, just overread stuff. You know, if he gets a little bit firm with the putting stroke, I think it'd be really good, and especially on the greens that he's going to be playing this year.
Yeah, so I can boil your three things down to the one thing he actually needs to solve, which is the 6 inches between his ears.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because the short game streakiness is resolved if he's more confident in his short game.
Yeah.
The putting situation is resolved if he has the confidence to hit putts slightly harder and not worry too much about them going 6 foot by and then having to have a hard comeback. And the irons, like proximity to whole situation, is just like him being free and not thinking about it. So all of it comes down to him being able to control his mind. For me, he can do all of the physical bits and you can practice those really. Yeah. It's not easy to get good at them, but it's easy to practice them. The like mental bit is the bit that he's very stubborn when it comes to that kind of thing, but he'll see the biggest benefit, I think, from doing something that will get that kind of mental side of the game up to scratch as well.
Yeah, I think all of those videos that are coming out recently, and hopefully you guys have enjoyed, I think it's coming out today for the Quest of the Open video for good event, like all the videos that have come out from that, if you watch the American guys talking about it and like the preparation, they're also like, we're going for the win, like confident in it, like they believe it. Pete's attempt at that is always in like a, oh yeah, I'm gonna win, but it's like a joke. It's like it might happen, it might not. And there is a difference. I remember thinking when we were over in Florida with Grant and Micah and those guys of like, no, I'm going to win and I'm going to do very well here.
Yeah.
Where Pete's is almost like a jovial.
Yeah, do you think they kind of like believe in themselves a bit more?
Oh, for sure.
And I wonder if it's his like hardened northernness, which is like prevents him from being genuinely proud of himself.
Yeah.
Like he can't go, wow, that was really good. Like, wow, that was, he can't do that because his brain's like, be horrible about yourself. Self-deprecation is the way to get people to like you. But it's not great for your brain if you keep telling yourself how terrible you are at putting and chipping. And so.
Well, even to elaborate on what Kieran was saying about the putts, like we saw the mindset change even between a birdie putt and a par putt. He made so many more par putts because he gave it a go get it in the hole. Birdie putts is always like, I'll just get it up there.
Just sort of tries to dab it in, like, you know, just be a little bit more firm with it. I think that would be a big thing for.
I mean, these are issues I think every golfer probably will say, you know, even on the pro tour, it'd be like leaving putts short is one of the worst things you could possibly imagine doing. We'll have to.
So say he sorts it all out. Right. Say he has some sort of magical epiphany in the desert and suddenly his game comes together. Let's go through the list of the people who he's up against and work out whether there's even a slight chance that with incredible improvement, is he going to get close to this? So who have we got? Who's on this list, Kieran?
Well, just to start off with, I don't know who that top one is. Some of these I don't know. And even Pete was like, I had to Google some of these people. So this top guy is called, because we're on the PGA Tour website here. The top one is Matt Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
What is he? He's on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, yep. 6 seasons apparently. He's won the 2017 Mexico
PGA Tour starts.
Yeah. Oh, see, do you know what I mean? Like, even last year he played in the RSM Classic. Like, you know, got a bit of experience. Got an experience first of all, just to play in like a competitive like round sort of thing. Yeah. You have a bit of jeopardy to it. But and then George Bryan as well, obviously like. I think George Bryan has sort of started this whole thing of, you know, obviously the thing that he did. What event was it? It was the
Am I just putting Barracuda together? I like the word Bermuda Championship.
I like it.
Bermuda there. Yeah, you're right.
Let's read the actual piece of the website.
Exactly, yeah. they know more than us.
Just read the autoprompter.
But, you know, I feel like he started this whole movement of, like, you know, of events.
Oh, what? Muppy's in the building.
What is it?
I do the cha-cha like a sissy girl. That is you not reading the autoprompter. He will read anything you put in front of him.
Da-da-da, do the cha-cha. Got off topic there.
You are right. This event and the reason this has happened is very much stemming off the back of George's success last year, making a PGA Tour event and then also making the cut.
100%.
And making a point of, like, you know, these golf YouTubers, yep, they do play in front of a camera. They do, you know, ask you to like and subscribe. But they are also very, very good at golf.
Yeah, and there's, you know, especially sort of events like a Myrtle, or, you know, all those sort of lower, not necessarily lower events, because obviously PGA Tour events, but, you know, lower status events that need a little bit of a, you know, need eyeballs.
Yeah,
on
boost
it.
Of, yeah.
They're
yeah.
trying to, they've really, I think they've really nailed it, to be honest. This Myrtle Beach Classic, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, who else is on it?
We've got J Card the Third, which might be one of my favourite names going.
Anyone with the fourth, the third.
Aren't you meant to be a third? Or
kind of, yeah, not really.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay.
There's a few Williams in the family.
Right, gotcha.
Morgan Dineen.
Again, sounds like a,
yeah, it sounds
solid
like a PGA
college
player.
Not
sure who that one is.
That one's like
Feta Pinch. Grant.
Yeah,
Grant. Yeah, never.
How do we feel about the? Okay, so these four here, right? Peter Finch, Grant Horvat, Luke Kwan, Micah Morris.
Mm.
Pete beats all three of those. Sometimes,
yeah. I think out of it, I'd have to put Kwan, just because of the experience he's got. From, you know, obviously, like, you know, one on PGA Tour China, just having that sort of. You know, that experience. But then obviously when we sort of interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, he said that, you know, he doesn't really have that itch anymore to play professional golf. So, you know, there is a difference there. But, he's still fantastic.
Yeah, I watched him do an Instagram Live with... Can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, right. He was asking him... It was after Luke had announced that he was going to play in the qualifier. And he was asking him, like, how do you think, like... It kind of felt like he was saying, you're going to win this thing. Like, you're going to win it. And Luke was like, well, probably, but it's not a walk in the park, which makes me think he's pretty confident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, for someone of his skill level, and of course, you know, he's won on some other tours before, makes sense, but...
Yeah, and he probably knows some of these, like...
Oh, yeah, he does. He went through the list himself and was like...
He probably knows
played
a lot
with
of
all these guys,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly,
yeah.
So, you know, he's going to feel, like, right involved in it, really, you know.
Yeah, the guys from Buster Jack.
Yeah, that's interesting. That I was reading that they have got their own little mini playoff.
They're match playing against each other to work out which one of them gets in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just saying, I just didn't know that until I just read it there. But I mean, like, say we're listing off names of people that obviously aren't household names, but they are guys that are highly established university players in America, have already played 20, 30, 40, 50 times on the Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
Someone started 25 times on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
It's an exciting field, really, because it's just to see, like, how does everyone match up together.
Yeah.
I'm sure Pete will be hoping and wondering that he doesn't find himself too low down, but I'm really, really excited
I'd
to see.
I'd love him to be kind of like paired with someone like a Micah or a Luke, for example, that would just sort of calm the nerves down a little bit for him.
Yeah.
Because he gets on, you know, really well with, and Grant as well, but I think, like, he really gets on with Micah, really gets on with Luke, that they kind of bounce off each other
He needs the energy up, doesn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, just that calming sort of...
Well, you guys will see it, like, a lot more than I do when you film him in events, like, in this country. But Pete will get to a point where it gets quite tense, and he's going to have to decide how he's going to approach it from now on. And he needs to kind of release that tension somehow, and if there isn't a camera there to kind of make a... self-deprecating comment or something like that. Like, he needs to talk to someone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If he is with someone who's, you know, that, like, this would be a huge opportunity for any person on this list. If they're going to be buckling down and they don't want to go into, like, let's chat with a YouTuber mode.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you'll be seeing a side that, like, you might be seeing a side of, like, Grant and Luke and all this, of, like, a side that you don't see really. Or, and maybe Pete as well, you know, just like full focus sort of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we saw the other side of that at the Good Good Desert Open, because him and Trotty were, like, joking, bouncing jokes off each other, obviously, like, concentrating on the game and, you know, trying to put shots closer, that putts were easier. But I think you're right. Pete went into that thinking, let's just have a great time. Obviously, let's try and play as good as we can. But this is, like, a different level of pressure that I don't think we have seen Pete in since the last Quest for the Open regional qualifying, where you can tell that he's just in a different mode.
And he does have a zone. Like, he has, you know, that is a weird kind of area to see Pete in, because he's not normally like that. But I have been to some events where he is very, you know, isolated within himself, which can be a good and bad thing, because if it starts to go wrong, then it sticks within him very tightly. He doesn't really get it out in a very good way. I'm really intrigued to kind of see what happens. I'm also thinking, like, if we, because it sounds like it might be me and you that are going to be going over, me and Kieran, is he going to let one of us caddy? Could we, like, caddy for him?
Because won't you both have to film?
No, we're not allowed to film.
It's part of it's for Myrtle. So yeah.
So we're not even allowed to. What if you, like, did a little vlog?
There'll be some behind the scenes.
Yeah, we'll get some bits, but, like, it's the whole thing as well. Also, is that there's no basic arguments over who gets the video, essentially. So yeah. Myrtle are putting together a package where there will be. I don't want to drop anything because I don't want to announce things before other people. But there might be some new little things that are introduced to the stream and to the whatever product they put together. It might be quite exciting for people to see. You were talking about, like, having someone, you know, if he does get put with one of these Korn Ferry guys and he's kind of feels a bit isolated, and is having one of us there or even both of us there to kind of bounce off and just give him a bit of a release of something.
Yeah. I haven't known Pete as long as you guys have. So I've kind of been still having to think about when to push him and when to kind of, like, try and break him out of whatever he's thinking. Like, in certain moments I want to go, come on, man, you got this. Like, you just got to focus, like, concentrate. And then I also want to be like, you're rubbish, like, how could you miss that, like, in a kind of way that tricks his brain into thinking, oh yeah, we're having a great time, or we need to focus. Like, I still can't read him quite as well as you guys can, so it's probably a good thing that you guys are going to be there, because you can work out from what you're seeing, how do I mold, or, you know, like, not manipulate, but, like, how do I kind of communicate to him that either he's doing really well or that he needs to pull his finger out? Like,
well, full disclosure, I still haven't a clue. I caddied for him last year, didn't I?
Yeah.
Like, at Dundonald, and for one of his all-time worst performances. So,
well, I'm David.
Don't put that on you, though.
Maybe just don't talk to him at all.
I've cut him for a PGA Tour, a PGA Tour, PGA West, like...
North.
North, is it? What is it?
Well,
we went to...
PGA West is the course that we tried to get on.
Is it West? Oh, right. Yeah. And it was like it was at Marriott. And all I did was because he sort of knew the course anyway. And I don't think he likes someone kind of like sort of giving him, all right, you should hit it like this. You know, he'll do it himself. But all I was doing is him giving the yardage, you know, giving him a bit of wind direction, letting him do it, because he's not very good at being caddied for.
Right, okay. So, is that just out of practice?
It's just out of, like, he just likes to do everything himself. He doesn't like anyone sort of getting involved of anything. So,
which is weird, because we all work here.
It'll be one of those. He's just not used to having someone, you know, he sees it all the time when he gets a caddy at a course and then they go grab his putter off him and he gets all a bit like, oh, and he realizes, oh no, that is your job. Yeah. I think when I, because I've done a similar thing to Kieran as well, like, I went to about 5 or 6 about a few years ago. I've been to, like, Accrington and Blackburn, and kind of, it was a combination of, obviously, we're still filming, but, like, doing the caddying role. And usually the way I've just gone about it is try to create that thing that he always goes on about talking through his shots, and anytime he does that just makes him, so just having, like, just someone as a soundboard to just come off and just be like, as he, oh, I'm gonna hit a 6 iron here, I'm probably gonna cut it, because I can't give him that information because he's a better golfer than me.
Yeah,
but if he's speaking to me and
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Telling me like, oh, I'm going to do this, 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 and I'm just giving him positive reinforcement of, no, yeah, like that, good, yeah, cool, and he's talking it through. I think that will help him because he, as you say, he will. That's his kind of talking to the camera. It's just talking to me, but I'm not holding anything.
Yeah, I'll just stand here like this.
Just mimic it.
Yeah, and I'll do a couple of like little zooms.
Hang on,
and
my mic's not working. Pete, hang on, wait a minute. Right,
1 second. I'm getting a bit of crackle.
I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on. I think it's going to be really good.
I think for Quest for the Open, one of the goals originally, I think it may still be on the Qualigraph. Well done, ChatGPT, on that one. That was ChatGPT, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well done on the Qualigraph.
Yeah, it's got its use.
Yeah. Did you ask it nicely or did you just demand?
I said thank you afterwards.
Okay, well, great work. You'll survive the apocalypse. One of the things that Pete said he wanted to do was to do a round or a series of rounds, maybe even a comp with a proper caddy who knows his game, who knows the courses they're playing, knows his club selection, knows shot shapes, like all that stuff. So it'd be very interesting to see if we can squeeze that in before this Myrtle Beach thing
maybe
happens.
Yeah. Maybe he needs to get a caddy on the phone, get him flying over.
If you're a PGA Tour, if you're a tour caddy, please comment below.
Number coming across the screen now.
Your phone 1-800 help Peter Finch.
There might be even caddies there. You never
probably
know.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
And they, you know, that might probably... And you need that little bit of, like, you know, local knowledge, sort of course knowledge, because obviously he's not played it before.
Who is the guy at the park?
Trout.
Trout. Yeah,
can
we
fly him in? Or?
Trout would be
that would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Amazing. I bet he's probably, because he's played so much and he's been everywhere, he's you know, caddied a lot of places. So yeah, he's a well-rounded man.
Absolute, you know what? He has played with some good caddies. You know, Trout was very good.
Trout was great.
I liked the guy from
the Renaissance.
Callum was his name. Yeah, he was very cool, and he had the right kind of like mocking, which Pete likes to do. Yeah. So that was cool.
Again, he didn't like. He
gave yardages and advice.
Yeah, didn't do much on the putting. Just gave him like, you know, might break more, but like he'll leave him to it. You know, in terms of like, you know, break and stuff like that. Well, Matt kind of did most of the putting anyway that day. But,
that's true.
But yeah, it's cool. It's really, really cool. Like, I think what's really cool as well is that, like, obviously we've had the good stuff, this coming up. Like, I feel like it's YouTube golf is like growing massively.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah, there's definitely been a kind of shift towards making it less of a viewing experience, more of a doing experience.
100%.
So you can go and watch Grant and Micah play each other. You can go and watch all of the, you know, the good events and whatever. And then in this one, in theory, one of these guys could be playing in a PGA event.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible to think, isn't it, how far it's come. Pete always references that first video of him stood in that like Trafford Bay, like hitting, how to hit the 50-yard pitch shot or something. Yeah, yeah. And he's one round away from a PGA Tour event. Mm. It's every year, always think the same thing of like, how can it go further than this? Like, it keeps coming and just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's really, it's a very exciting space to be in right now of where it can go. I mean, he's gonna have to shoot low, probably 62 low in homage to a certain Hideki Matsuyama.
Oh yeah, we were just gonna talk about the Genesis.
Yeah, he did all right, didn't he?
Now, I don't like it.
What? Hideki. The event?
I don't like Hideki winning.
Oh.
You don't like him winning?
Well, no, because all last year, when I had you in my team, Hideki Matsuyama, you did nout. And now, suddenly, you're back.
Going to start winning again.
Yeah.
Just before we dive into that as well, I'm just kind of like just looking at Pete's schedule a little bit here. Uh-huh. And we've got, because obviously we've got the list of competitions he's got here. I don't know if he can play in the Myrtle Beach Classic because he's got to play Knutsford Golf Club. And he's got to play Stand.
No, that says Not End.
Not End? Knutsford? Or Not End, is it?
Yeah, so Knutsford. What is that? May? Stand. In the middle of May?
Stamford.
Stamford.
The 9th and the 13th, he's got two comps there. They're both, you know, kind of...
He's pushing it there.
He's pushing it there. So he's got the Stand Golf... He's playing that, and then he's playing a Knutsford one. So
I mean, to be fair, they're going to be similar prize pools as well. So you know, it's going to be hard choice.
I'd love it if it was like a co-sanctioned event.
The PGA Tour and the PGA North Lancashire Tour.
It's like everyone from like PGA North getting world ranking points. The guys on Liv still getting nothing.
Getting FedEx points.
No, not FedEx, UPS. DPD, whatever it is.
Now, the question is if he managed to get through into this event, amazingly shoots the lights out, finishes dead last, gets world ranking points, how many, like, where he'd get to on the leaderboard and how many players he would be, like, surpassing.
God.
Would be so interesting to see.
He'd be doing a Nick Taylor, wouldn't he? Like, jumping thousands and thousands of places.
Yeah. Well, there's 300 FedEx points up for grabs and there's 3.9 million prize pot as well. So.
Okay, so.
There we go.
That's good. So he'll. This is us saying that Peter Finch is going to qualify because he's going to beat everyone, and then he's going to go and win the Myrtle Beach Classic.
Yes.
Go on, Peter Finch.
Do you reckon we'll get like any of that, any of the prize money?
I don't think so. Okay, so
we can wish.
So I watched quite a lot of the golf this weekend.
Oh wow, that's very unlike you.
Yeah.
Outside of major territory. Anyway.
I watched Arsenal.
Of course.
That's a lie. I watched one of the five goals. And then I fell asleep.
And the stream went off.
The stream went off. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, but I watched a lot of golf.
What time did they play?
At 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
he fell asleep.
Yeah, I had a nap.
Okay, brilliant. Okay. Nap.
He's still jet lagged.
Yeah. No, he'd been to Altrincham Market and eaten everything they had.
Yeah. So. Food coma.
I was in a coma. However, I didn't like Cantlay being near the top.
Right, because you have a.
I'm anti Cantlay.
Okay.
I'm anti tippy tap. I'm anti taking too long. I'm anti being miserable. All right.
He smiled once.
No.
Yeah. He smiled.
After he made a long putt, didn't he?
Yeah, on the 18th. On the 18th, he made a putt, a birdie putt, long putt, and just broke out. And then you saw the kind of, I'm smiling. I need to stop. Like, back to
Accidentally showed some emotion.
Yeah.
But yes, Hideki Matsuyama came from 6 shots back to take the Genesis Invitational title in a record low final round.
Mm-hmm. 62. I really, really like this golf course.
Yeah. Do you actually?
Yeah, I really, really do. I think it's like they set it up ever so slightly differently this year in terms of like there was no first cut. It was very much like fairway and rough, but it was just a pure hit your fairways. And then if you're a really good iron striker, which has always been the story at the Riviera, you will score well. And Hideki just proved that. And he was just shaping. He had it on a string. It was drawing and fading him low, high. He was putting him through windows. It was so good. It was so nice to watch. Traces.
Sounds like poetry, bro.
And it was just so like, you could see the creativity and like the quality of the golfers like come to the fore like through that whole time. And I didn't think he would win when I went to sit down and watch it. Obviously, he had Xander and Patrick, which was obviously like this highly anticipated, it's these two mates going up against each other, how are they going to be?
Yeah.
You know, 3 months ago, Xander was a groomsman at his wedding, but now they're going to have to play for $4 million or whatever it is. And
God, it sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's hard.
One
life,
of us is going to win $4 million.
And we never really got that. And we never got that kind because they both didn't really
Hideki
get
was
going.
Like, see ya.
Luke List eagled the first.
What do you think about Luke List?
Yeah, as our...
This is a great leaderboard for me.
As our resident Luke Lister.
So I don't know if we've ever talked about MacBook names.
Potentially, maybe. But just to fill you in, all of the computers in the Finch Golf office are kind of word smashed into famous golfers. So your computer is called...
Rory McBuckleroy.
Yep, your computer is called...
Mac Brooks Koepka.
Yep, your computer is called...
Hideki MacBook Yama.
Yep.
Mine's Rob MacBook Entire.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
Yeah, lovely.
Your studio is called...
Tiger Woodio.
Which is great.
Did you have Sam's in there as well?
Oh yeah, what's Sam's one called?
Mac Fitz book trick.
It's a fiddler. Yeah,
we're running out now.
Okay, yeah. So just as a call to you viewers and/or listeners, if you can think of any other word smashed golfer computer names, we like the word MacBook to be in it somewhere. So yeah. Mac Fitz book trick works quite nicely because it's got Mac and book in it somewhere. So if you can get that in, and it's a professional, famous, you know, any golfer really, we'll take it, stick it in the comms, and we'll have a quick look at it after the episode.
But just going back to like, this is a leaderboard for me, like Hideki being big on him, this is his first win since I changed my name and my MacBook to him. But I tend to think of this tournament as something that has like a really strong Augusta crossover. And you look like Hideki's obviously got green jacket, you've got like Zalatoris is back, you know, and like flying.
Was that a joke about his back?
He has a back.
That's true. And like, it's littered with lots of people who just generally have a good time at Augusta. But more than that, this is my kind of leaderboard because it's full of people who like strike the hell out of the ball and cannot putt. Like, I don't know where Scheffler finished.
I think he's T8, T10.
T10. There you go. I could have this wrong. I saw someone tweet that said Scheffler was second best. And maybe it's got it here.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, off the tee, 9. Around the green, 1. Yeah. Putting, 50. 51.
I saw the stats. So
he lost over 4 strokes on the green.
It's incredible.
You'd think by this point he would have.
He had a whole off season. What was he doing?
Focused on it.
Yeah. If Zalatoris can come back from an entire loss of limb, you know, like his entire torso has been replaced by doctors, right? Yeah. You couldn't just learn to hit it a bit straighter. You're doing is rolling it. It's not that difficult.
What's more impressive with Zalatoris is he had a newly restructured, recreated swing for the first time that we'd seen. And he looked like he was swinging it better than before.
Yeah, he looks good.
He looks really good. Do you know what's more annoying is that I'm going to inevitably have to take Patrick Cantlay into account for my master's tip next year.
No, I haven't even thought about that.
David makes a really good point about how, like, when you kind of do the research and you're kind of lining up who's going to do well at these places, Riviera and Augusta has a linkage of that these guys usually do pretty well. So I mean, you know, Tommy T8 T10, he shot 4 under yesterday.
But
you can include him.
There are outliers. Luke List was second.
Oh no, he's up there.
And you got your Sam Burns up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, you can't take it as simple as that. You just replicate the top 5 and go, that's what it's going to be at Augusta.
Jason Day was looking good also. Saw lots of Jason Day.
How he was looking, or just
he looks great.
You're enjoying the Melbourne.
He's dressed very well.
He does look good. Like he looks fit. To be fair, I agree. He does. I don't know whether he's clean shaven or he just looks good.
In the every time I've seen him, he's always
more like
in
Jason
the green.
Date.
I've only seen him in like the green vest. I've not seen him in anything else than that yet.
Yeah,
unless I'm not watching enough golf.
The outfits are great. In fact, speaking of Melbourne and outfits, I watched some LET golf this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, the Saudi.
Yeah, and Charlie Hull was... She's also Melbourne, isn't she?
Yeah.
And Lauren, I was watching it with Lauren, and I was explaining kind of a little bit of what was going on. I had very little understanding of it, really. But she was like, oh, I like her outfit. I was like, yes, actually, she's just signed with Melbourne. Mm. Same as Jason Day. Here's Jason Day's trousers. She was like, oh, okay.
Let's watch the PGA Tour for the next 6 hours. And you can watch him play as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's obviously 2 other mentions as well. First off, I'm going to say about Gary Woodland.
Like, yes.
That was pretty... It's pretty insane that he's obviously come back from a brain tumour.
Mm.
So, and you know,
wild.
To be...
Did he get Tiger's... Speaking of, we'll speak about
Tiger.
Right,
that was
going to
be my next one.
Did he get Tiger's sponsor pick, or he? Because
yes,
didn't
he
Tiger
got his
get
exemption,
him?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. So Tiger said, "I would like him there. Yeah. He deserved to be there." So
and played with him for one and a half rounds
and played really well. So
1.33.
You're a Gary Woodland guy as well, aren't you, David?
Yeah, I like a bit of Gary.
God, you've had a great weekend.
Yeah,
it's just mental, to be fair.
I'm just gonna have to like buy stock in the other guys here, like Adam Hadwin. You're mine now. Yeah. Riding him for the rest of the season.
Do you want to claim your money back off Mick for being the only person to get a bet wrong for this weekend?
Oh yeah, talk about your bets.
That's true.
Who did you have?
Like all 5 of us, Pete wasn't here, but all the remaining 5 of us all put 1 leg of an acca on basically each. So Jacob, yours was
Adam Scott top 20,
which he did.
Yep.
Tiger was for five birdies on the first round.
Yeah.
Over five birdies.
Yeah, and he got five or more. I think he got five on the butt. Like mine was Cam Young, top 20. He just scraped
it. Where did he finish?
18? T16.
T16.
And then...
What was Sam's?
Sam's was Will Zalatoris to make the cut.
That's brave.
I think we just tail Sam for all our picks. Just for a few weeks.
Yeah, I'll get him on instead of me.
There's something developing here. And then Ludvig Åberg to get...
I had Åberg to finish top 10.
Mm. Top 10.
Where did he finish?
T19.
So two shots off. That's pretty good.
This is all right.
Yeah, but you lot all...
But you did last time.
You made like £1.49. You made like £1.12. I made no money at all.
Yeah, we're not retiring on this.
That's true. It was my cold hard capital, 10p each.
Yeah.
That went into me.
Is that all you put on, 10p?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know.
It's big money.
I noticed you had an extra Snickers at lunch just now, so... That was your winnings.
Yeah.
So talk to me about Tiger. What happened?
Yeah. Did you guys watch all of his first round?
Yeah, yes. I mean,
I watched the first six holes of his second round as well.
Yeah, same.
Well, that's the talking point, isn't it? Like him deciding to stop in the second round. It came out after he said that he had influenza. Was the reason of him being immediately your mind goes to his back's gone again. He can't walk on his leg or whatever. So I'm going to assume that is what the reason was. I mean, he did look a bit iffy.
Yeah.
So it's good that it wasn't, you know, a physical in terms of his body term of things, but it was a shame because it was a highly anticipated return. Obviously a lot of eyes would have been on him watching, and we saw him for one and a third rounds, and maybe we're gonna have to wait however long again to see him again.
Well, so hopefully he said he wants to play once a month, so you know,
he's got them one more
players?
He's gonna have, yeah, maybe
I
the th- players
I think
yeah.
he was thinking of play- they said it in the commentary, but I think it was the players that he was thinking of getting involved in, and then obviously the Masters coming up. So
I feel like we have everyone's kind of in a similar mindset of where they are with Tiger. I'm a little bit cooler on him in regards to I'm not buying the comeback too much, and I'm not really expecting much. I know Mick is very as he sits there with his lip turned over and shaking his head.
No,
you're not feeling it, are you?
I think he knew he wasn't going to finish. This is what I think happened. He had to turn up to the event because they had sold tickets based on the fact that he was playing.
Yeah.
So he couldn't not turn up. He couldn't, you know, not play the event.
Yeah.
And then when he realized he wasn't good enough, he realized he was going to not make the cut. And he went, oh, yeah, I feel ill.
Oh, you think he had a little throw his toys out the pram jobby?
I was like, oh, I feel sick after six holes. Oh, is this next hole uphill? Don't fancy it.
It's a claim.
Listen, I'm all for a conspiracy theory. So I think the conspiracy theory was that they sold tickets under Tiger's name. He was like, oh, I can't really be bothered. My back hurts, my leg hurts. And they were like, you go out there and you play 20 holes. All right? And then you get back in here.
Is that like when you say when you go to, I think it's at the cricket, if you get to see X amount of overs, if you don't see enough of them, then you get like a 75% discount or whatever it might be.
Do you reckon they had that on the ticket sales?
Tiger or whatever. Yeah, like, if you see 20 holes.
If you see 20 Tiger holes.
You can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Don't get your money back.
Saying that though, I reckon he had some pretty mean scripting for Sunday.
That, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that. We didn't even get to see it.
This is his first event of showing off all the clothes and stuff. Oh. Like, I bet he was.
Did you see the blue and white and red striped one, which was an homage to his first ever.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was cool.
16 years old.
My God,
that was cool.
It's very cool.
The man is just a legend.
But he walked off a golf course because he felt a bit ill.
He is caught up in a conspiracy.
I'm gonna kind of back. Not. I'm gonna. What's the word?
You're gonna defend support
Tiger? I'm gonna defend him a little bit and say I thought the first round off was very, very positive.
With his five birdies.
It was five birdies.
And his seven. How many birdies was it?
Keeping up with, you
and
know,
his shank.
Keeping up with Gary Woodland, obviously, you know, Gary Woodland's a big, big hitter, you know, known for being one of the longest on tour. Kept up with him in terms of driving. Iron play was a little bit off, but the putting was fantastic, I thought.
What did he blame the shank on? He came up.
Back spasm.
Back spasm. Like the,
just at the top. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I blame mine on.
Yeah, that's mine going forward now.
Is it?
Well done, sir.
We're slowly morphing into the same person, obviously.
We dress like him today as well. So.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with Kieran as well. It really doesn't... Like, he's someone who has played so badly in the past. Like say, when he was at Augusta and he shot... Was it a 10? He got on the 12th hole.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. At that point, he could have been like, do you know what? I'm in too much pain. I'm walking off the golf course now. Mm-hmm. Or I'm being carted off the golf course now. Mm-hmm. Yep. But he didn't do that this time. And I think, like, the fact that he was, like, wincing in this, like, in a cart struggle, that's not a good look for him or his new brand. I think, if anything, him, like, marching on, and, like, even if he does miss the cut, he turned up, he played, he goes again. I think that would have been stronger.
Yeah.
Plus, there were reports that there was, an ambulance on site, which I think is a bit overkill for illness.
Yeah.
That was just there for Zalatoris, just in case.
That's true.
No, actually, they thought that Cantlay was coming down with something when he accidentally smiled. So they were like, get the ambulance.
Also, like, the thought, like, in this country, I don't think anyone's ever said to me, like, oh, I was struggling with influenza last week. Like, no,
so American.
I think it is. Is it? Because
I've never heard of it.
I think Tiger went back to the 1800s in prep for this.
He's like, I've got the plague.
Rediscover his form.
I've got the Black Death. I can't play.
I reckon that's
got scurvy.
I reckon that's his code for saying that he had a bit of a jippy tummy.
That's what. Yeah, exactly. But like, we'd be like, oh, I was just feeling a bit under the weather last week.
A bit
like,
rough. Yeah.
I had influenza.
Mm. Like, with all the stuff about Spieth, and maybe we'll come back to him in a minute. Apparently, Cantlay, he was like really, really ill. But, Saturday night.
Spieth was sick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't well.
It was Tiger. No. He sprinkled something on the shrimp in the clubhouse. All the players get ill. He's got an excuse.
Yes.
It was a clip on social media. I think Tiger went up to Spieth and there was something like, oh, you're playing in front of me like next 2 days. Like, I'll be hitting into you or something. And that was the point where they both got ill.
Yeah, they got connected.
Yeah, 6 feet apart.
There was claims that they'd been eating a little bit too much In-N-Out burger. That was the.
It could have been. Yeah,
they hit it hard.
I had my first In-N-Out burger in America.
Did you?
Double with animal fries and a chocolate shake.
Right. Okay.
Thanks to the Discord for suggesting that, because I didn't know what to get.
I did see you put in. It's a very simple menu. That was the one thing
only
I took
like
away.
Four things on it.
Yeah, and they obviously do the like. Oh, I'll just have the number one, the number two, whatever. Where we actually have to say the whole thing to the UK.
They've got like a secret. The animal fries aren't on the menu, which is basically fries with just everything. They're like, got anything back there? Yeah, cool. Stick it on these chips. It was very nice.
Yeah.
I didn't get ill. I could have played four rounds of golf in a PGA Tour event.
You would have missed the cut.
Just to add on that, have you guys ever had a Five Guys?
No, I've never had a Five Guys.
Multiple times.
I've never had a Five Guys. And
it's one at Trafford.
I never had one. I was in London the weekend and we were out and me and my brother-in-law went to go try and find some food and went to Five Guys. And we sat, we didn't order. Like we just sort of looked and we were like, am I paying £12 for a cheeseburger with no fries, nothing, like just a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
This is what I've heard. Yeah.
I was like, what?
Did you eat one?
No. We went to go back down the road.
Okay, so you'll never know why they were £12.
Why are they £12?
Because it's delish.
What? I thought it was unbelievable. I was like, how is there so many of these?
You get to put whatever you want in it. So all the things in that list, you're like, I'll have all of them.
What, for extra price? Or
no,
just
for that 12 quid.
Oh,
you put the stuff in, right? And then this is how they do chips in a Five Guys, right? You order a small fries.
Yeah.
They do small fries like that, and they go into your basket, and then they get a whole another one, and they chuck that in for free.
So you only need...
You could have ordered one burger, and both eaten.
It was going to cost me like 20 quid.
Welcome to London.
Like, but not, yeah.
I've got this picture of Kieran putting together a Scooby-Doo style burger next time that you're in.
I'll have all of them.
Sorry, I haven't spoken to anyone about that, so I wanted to...
No, I've never had one. No, I've never ever had one.
Well, we know where we're going for the next works night.
Yeah.
To our Five Guys.
Can I ask, going back to the Spieth thing for a second?
Yeah.
I think I've got this right, that Spieth signed his scorecard, then signed Tom Kim's scorecard. Tom Kim was like scoring him, and then ran out of the scorer's area to the bathroom. But he didn't check through what Tom Kim had given him. Tom Kim had incorrectly written down a par three when he actually got a bogey four on a par three,
mm.
And he was disqualified because of that.
Yeah. Now,
So is that Tom Kim's fault, or is it?
Well, this is the...
First of all, whose fault is it? And, like, should there be a penalty? And if so, do you guys think disqualification is, like, too much?
I think for writing, like, the wrong number on a piece of paper, it does feel a little bit heavy. Mm. And given that the fact that it wasn't him that wrote it down. Now, obviously, he has played in however many events and the rules have not changed. And he should have known better. Now, it sounds like nature was calling and he needed to get away pretty quickly, which didn't help the situation. But a disqualification does feel a bit heavy. Now, if we're looking at outside of that, then you're looking at shot deductions or, you know, penalties in that kind of way. But, you know, is this one of these rules that we're looking at as a modern game of golf and thinking, let's just come on now, like it can all be fixed electronically when they put it anyway. Everyone knew that he'd got the wrong score in. It's not like when we've handed in the card in for our monthly medal and we just have to believe our playing partners. You know, it does feel a little bit kind of archaic now, but
I think the argument is that it is a game where you are, you know, traditionally you are relying on someone telling the truth in order to, like, you go over to your ball in the woods, you just have to believe that they didn't prefer their lie, you know, pretend they found the ball when they didn't, like all of the things that you can do, but of course shouldn't. You have to just trust that the other person is telling the truth about what the outcome of the situation was. I think the reason that I think they got it right by disqualifying him was that this time it was accidental. What if he, you know, four, and then of course this hasn't been happening, you know, what if I just put a four, be all right, I got a five, but I put a four, or, you know, I parred it. Someone doesn't check, he makes the cut by one shot and makes money when he shouldn't have done, and someone who played fairly and legally did everything right, and you cheated them out of money which feeds their kids.
I mean when you take it, but then they say, like, we're talking about a situation where it was another guy who put it down. I don't know if Spieth went to Tom Kim and went, "Oh, put me down for a foot," like, you cut it, you're like, hang on a minute, counted them, like,
one, yeah, two, and then three, drop four.
You know, I don't know if that was exactly how it played out, but it's, you know, you usually have guys sat on the greens counting, you know, people walking with them counting their scores and all this kind of stuff. So there's a third party usually about who's doing that anyway.
Yes, but the difference is that until the eventual ball rollout, we play the exact same game that the pros play.
Yeah.
So if you're not checking, if you are scoring for me in a competition, then we should check each other's work, which makes sense. There isn't someone doing person number three, or, you know, scoring person on the green on the thing in your local tournament.
No.
So it has to be done exactly this. So you can't rely on the fact that it's been on TV, because your tournament that you guys are playing against each other at, shout out Didsbury, doesn't have that. It has to be the same rules for everyone, apart from when the ball rollout comes in.
I mean, just thinking about it, I've had it where I've not signed my scorecard. I think he signed it, didn't he? He signed it, but it was wrong. I've not signed it, given it in, and got disqualified.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
you didn't check it?
Yeah. So,
did you run to the bathroom as well?
I didn't. No.
Ran to the
pub.
It was that bad.
And I'm done.
So I don't know. Is it the same principle? I'm not sure that, you know. Obviously, there's no money on the line for us. You know, there's just.
I think also if it's your job. Do better. What's to stop him saying, "Listen, I'm having some gastric distress.
Give me five minutes.
Tom, can you hold here for 30 seconds? I'm just going to go into the toilet and then come back. And I'll wash my hands and then we'll deal with this."
Yeah.
Like, you're a professional.
Give it here. I'll check it on the loo. And like,
I think that...
If you're watching on YouTube, you may have seen that one. If you're listening at home, you will not.
No, I am with you there, but I guess that, like, the ultimate version of this would be is if you won, if, like, say, Hideki had won, but he had signed for an incorrect scorecard. Like, one stroke difference wouldn't have made the difference between him like winning and losing. Yeah. But say if he'd done that, he would have been disqualified theoretically. And I'm trying to think, there's a famous, it can't be famous enough because I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
But like back in the day, there was someone who shot the winning 72 hole score at Augusta who should have won.
Yes.
And then he was disqualified because he like basically did the same thing.
No way.
So my what I wonder is
Google that.
Yeah. It's like fact check me.
Yeah.
No,
I believe you. I want to know who it was.
Yeah, we need to know who it is.
Hashtag bring back Pete.
Don't hashtag your own demise.
Let's get it trending.
What am I putting in? Like Masters.
Masters
scorecard drama
disqualification.
Yeah.
But like I wonder if that happened now, would someone have like say if Spieth did that and like he like theoretically would have won this year, would someone have like found him?
That's the guy. Yeah, that's the one.
Roberto Di Vincenzo.
Roberto Di Vincenzo.
1968, and we're still going through similar things today. Because that feels like very, very outdated.
Yeah.
Whereas now, if something like this happened, you think of all the people who had bets on. Like that's such a big market.
Speed to make the cut, people are screwed over.
How unsatisfying that would be, like for viewers. It just feels like for PGA to LPGA, Live, whatever, for all these different like tournaments and tours, I do think that like surely we can have just a little bit of leeway to get this stuff right.
Yeah, and I mean in a world now where the PGA Tour has lost a lot of its, high pedigree players to Live, and Spieth is now one of the poster boys for the PGA Tour. He's stepped into Rory's shoes on the board, and he's kind of really, not that he's going to do a similar thing that Rory did last year, but he is a name that guys watch PGA Tour golf for. Mm. And they, I don't want to say they've stabbed themselves because they've done it, they had to do it because that was what the rules were, but they have inhibited themselves by getting rid of one of their best players for one of the the pedigree events or whatever they call them now.
Elevated
events.
Signature events.
Signature events, lovely. And they've lost a player in that in Jordan Spieth. But they got, rules are rules, and you've got to carry out.
I think there has to be a line, right? Because if you don't have a very strict rule on it, you sign your card incorrectly, you leave for an hour, you come back, oh my God, my card was incorrect. Is that allowed? Or like if you leave the tent and return, like once you've left the room, is your card signed? Like, are you allowed to, like, what if now the, say Hideki won by one shot and gets docked one shot, and does he transfer the winnings to the person who has now won? But I've already spent it. Mm.
I've got the new house.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to have a very specific line. If you signed your card wrong and you handed it to the person who, the scorer, and it's incorrect.
Yeah.
You have tainted your entire cards for the whole tournament because we don't know whether your first one was correct. So just take you out, then we don't have to deal with it. Very clean.
Yeah. I mean, you see after rounds how, especially if it's after like a major win or something, how there's that time period of the winner walking through the crowd and asking for pictures and stuff. And it's like, no, hang on, I've got to go and do this first and stuff. So there does seem like there is a kind of, as soon as you stepped off that 18th green, you have to go to the scorer's hut and you don't step out of the scorer's hut until you have put a pen on paper and signed off for that card.
If you have to defecate in your own pants, right?
So be it.
I want a green jacket. All right?
Yeah. Would he have held it on a little bit longer if he was playing in the Masters?
There we go.
Yeah.
And then Tiger was like, if one of my mates isn't playing, I'm not playing either, and stormed off. Right.
Shall we? Yeah.
Shall we do Tenable?
Yeah, let's do Tenable. All right. I must also say, last week I did get it wrong.
Yes.
Last week.
So, printer retraction.
I massively apologise. I did get it wrong.
I was absolutely fine with it, to be honest.
Was it Bubba Watson that you left out?
No, this is the thing, is that like I thought I heard someone say Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson was on my list,
yeah.
But the one that was wrong was Harrington. It was Zach Johnson, and I missed out. And that was my fault. Very much apologise. But this week, I've double-checked it.
Thanks, Jordan Spieth. In fact, you're going to be disqualified.
Exactly, disqualified. Yeah.
Have you made a list and been checking it twice?
I have indeed.
Oh, my God, it's not Christmas yet.
So this one is, I want you to name the last 10 US Open winners.
Okay, I'm not going to be very good at this.
Yeah, just give it a go.
We're together. We're all right.
And just to make one thing clear, that's... like, obviously, in the last 10 years, there may have been people that have won it more than once. So it might go back.
So the last 10, the last 10 people.
The last 10, yeah.
Okay, to so win the US Open.
Very similar a person to what isn't going to take two spots.
Yeah, what very we similar to what we did with the Open.
Okay,
yeah.
So can I do as many as I can do?
Yeah, you can.
Because then
you guys can go further back than I can.
I don't know about that, but okay.
I'm going to make notes of this because I need to keep note of what. So 2023. You can have 2023.
Do we have to give the year as well?
No, I
want to make it so that like it goes round.
I
think it should be lives. You're going to have three lives.
Oh, great.
We are going to be against each other.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to be against each other. Okay. You are going to be against each other. Because that's how we're going to start making it a game again. You know what I mean? There's no friend. There's no friends here.
God. We all don't like each other.
So who wants to start? Yeah, Mick, do you want to start?
Wyndham Clark.
There we go.
Yes.
Do you want me to do this?
I'm fine, mate.
You sliced it ludicrously right off the tee on the 18th and still won the tournament with the jailbird putter.
Yeah.
Yes, I got one.
Jacob? Don't have to go in chronological. It can be any order you want. Mm. And again, everyone play along at home. This time I've got it right, so you can't be down in the comments. You know what I mean?
If you're in the comments complaining, it's you. I will go for...
Yeah, but you could be Googling it right now.
No, he can see.
He can see it. Yeah.
Kieran, don't tell him. I will go for...
He's going to tick them off. You don't need to do this.
Yeah, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah, but you can't see it, because otherwise you've got an advantage that we haven't got.
Yeah, but I thought we were doing it as a team, that's all.
No, we're not.
Yeah. We got Wyndham Clark.
Okay. Wyndham Clark.
I will go for Matt Fitzpatrick.
That's correct. 2022.
Tick it off.
2022.
Oh, sugar. You literally went for the... Can't get that one now, can I?
Sorry.
David?
Brooks Koepka.
Yep.
I believe more than once.
So he is, yeah, he is. He's 2018 and 2019.
Oh, great. So there's a lovely little gap in there.
I know Morikawa's won at the Open.
Colin Morikawa?
No. That is one of your lives left. Remember, you've got three. These two have got one.
They've got one life.
We've got one life.
No. It has to be completely fair. I'd like to lose. I'd like to lose fairly. Jordan Spieth.
Two lives.
I will go for Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau is correct. 2020.
I should have known that.
Have we said John Rahm?
John Rahm is correct. 2021. So you've got 2023, 2022, 2021, 2020.
2019, 2018.
Yeah, by the way, I've just made a mistake there. Brooks Koepka didn't win 2019. He won 2018, 2017.
Got you.
Okay, so we haven't got...
Before you get in the comments.
So we haven't got 2019.
You haven't got 2019.
It was Tiger's return year. Did he win it in that year? No, he didn't. What about even older? 2016.
Horton Smith. That's not a guess.
David's guess. Lost.
There goes one.
When did Rory last win something? Rory McIlroy.
I believe
2016.
Ah, incorrect. Oh,
he must have been earlier than that. Was he 13 and 14?
He won 2011 Congressional. Won by 8 shots.
When was the last time he won a major?
2014.
2014 was at the Open.
Yeah, God Royal Liverpool.
Come on, brother.
There you go. That's what you got so far.
Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Gap, Brooks Koepka, Gap.
Yeah, and then obviously, that's obviously not 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've got 6 so far.
Oh, we've got six.
Huh? Oh, so 15 and 14 are in there.
Oh, so sorry, I've actually got five.
I just stopped typing because I got told off.
Oh, yeah. So you may have noticed that we're all a little bit more out of breath now than we were a few minutes ago, and that's because we had to run down four flights of stairs away from fire. No, I'm kidding. There wasn't any fire, but there was a fire drill. So we had to go outside and then walk back up the stairs, and we've sat straight back down, and we're going to get straight back into Tenable. Currently we have Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Gap, Brooks Koepka, Gap. Is that right?
Yes. Gap. You're good.
Sounds right, yeah.
One life.
Great. Lovely. And
two lives, one life.
I'm about to be out.
I think it's me.
No, I did Rory.
He did Rory? Yeah. So back on you.
Okay. So,
2019.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Like in the middle. So it's got to be someone strange. Someone who, well, obviously not someone strange, but, you know, someone who maybe hasn't won.
Well, I'm thinking because I thought that Rory might have been a correct answer. So I'm obviously thinking in that period between that 16 to 2011, did we say, was congressional?
2011 was congressional, yeah.
So there's got to be, you know, that 2013-14 era. Justin Rose? Was he?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Is that 2019?
No.
Nah, 2013.
Oh, yes, because someone's won it more than once.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I was trying to work out.
So doing it by year is stupid.
Okay. I think 2019 was Gary Woodland.
Gary Woodland's correct. God, have you guys been looking?
No, because to be fair, he
left his phone here. His phone was here, so he can't have checked.
And he's a Gary Woodland enthusiast. Yeah.
I took my phone but didn't check, which is very silly because I now don't have an answer.
So, that's 2019. So
that's Woodland in there between Brooks and Bryson.
And then 2013 was Justin Rose.
I wonder if Bryson won it.
See, we've got two JRs now.
Mm.
The original and then
the remake.
The sequel. Justin Rose.
Oh, wow, there are some years to...
There are your years.
So, hold on. Oh, yeah, so Rory was a better guest than I first anticipated because of the amount of years. I am going to be stuck now, so I'm going to defer my point to David. David can have an additional life.
Thank you.
So you don't want to go for it?
Let me think.
You can just have a guess.
Yeah, let's go... 2013. Tiger Woods.
You get on Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
That's incorrect.
Okay, good. I'm out.
Right, you too.
Awesome.
Peter. No.
I was hoping you were going to get one so I can think. Justin Rose 2013, 2014, 2015. I'm going to...
It's Rory era, that's the problem. Is this like back end of Rory being excellent?
And the US Open is that the one that Spieth needs for the Grand Slam? He's won the Open,
yes.
He's won the Masters.
I think so. So it's not him. JT?
Nah, he's only won two PGAs. Rubbish.
Terrible. Joke.
I don't think this is right, but because I think it was a PGA, but... I can't even think of his name now. The guy you met at St Andrews.
Stop banging your microphone. And Andy people Scott? In the comments are screaming at
you
right now.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming.
20.
Who else is of that era?
Jason Duffner. I think he was a PGA.
Jason Duffner's incorrect.
He was a PGA.
Jordan Spieth.
Oh, it was Spieth.
I think he needs the PGA.
Jordan Spieth is correct.
Oh, we're stupid.
So what is it that Mickelson needs?
He needs the US Open. Despite coming a second place.
A record six times. That was from Guest the Player, hole four.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah,
boy. Oh, I'm looking forward to Guest the Player, by the way.
So you got two more.
2016, 2014, the year before Brooks. Before Brooksy.
Bryson again.
I'm fairly sure it's Americans.
Gotta be.
Not remembering any Europeans.
Could be an Australian.
Is this one that... was it Keimer off our thing last time? Is it Keimer?
Keimer's correct.
Oh, yes. McKeim.
Davidoff.
I don't think I've got it. I've got someone in mind, but I'm pretty sure it's from like 2008.
Okay.
Just doesn't help.
Old Tom Morris.
I'll say something to keep it going. Webb Simpson.
Webb Simpson is incorrect. He was 2012.
Ooh, you were so close.
2012. So you lost a life, so you've got one more life.
That was a good guess, actually.
Mm.
2016.
Who else?
Who did Brooks nick it off? Who can I picture that year of?
One of the years was Tommy, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, at Shinnecock. Mm. Thanks for reminding me. I think that might have been 17.
Have you got it, David? We're working as a team now because everyone's out.
I've got a very educated guess.
Okay, go.
That's my guess.
Well, you're not going to win.
You don't know.
He might sign the wrong scorecard.
Do you need the toilet?
Yeah, can I have a toilet break? 2016, so I'm going to try and do this in memory of I was in...
What was that? I was nine.
Second year of uni.
It was a lonely childhood.
Played with Lego because I had no friends.
Flashbacks, memories here.
I used to watch PGA Tour golf because no one invited me to their birthday parties.
Hunter Mahan.
Incorrect.
So rogue. Go on.
To steal it, to win it.
Okay. Dustin Johnson?
Yeah. Oh. DJ.
DJ.
There.
Well done.
I should have thought of
there
that.
There we are. Wow. That's it.
I've gone again.
And that's all right. So
we struggled through that. But.
That was difficult. I think it was the 16 to 13 is hard.
Mm.
Very hard. I mean, I didn't think Jordan Spieth won it in 2015. Like, I thought it was like up one, if you know what I mean. Like I thought
it was more recent.
Yeah. 2015's like a long time ago.
And imagine just back to back in it, like casually.
Mm. Yeah, with Brooks.
Just a different animal, isn't he?
So, like, I know it's a small sample size, but the whiplash you get going from like Jordan Spieth to DJ Koepka, Woodland, everyone after that, like I guess Fitzy has like put a lot of pace on as well.
Yeah,
but everyone is just like massive off the tee.
Yeah. Good iron players as well. Well, that wraps up the episode, I reckon.
Excellent. Great.
And what a good one it was.
Yeah, good one it was.
Will Peter Finch be back next week?
He will indeed.
Should be.
Yeah.
Excellent. Unless he decides he wants to go somewhere else. Or
Doesn't holiday very often, so I don't imagine that's going to be the case.
Well, it was nice to see you guys.
Yeah, thanks
for coming. I don't like this anymore.
Yeah. So should we all go back and sit in the other office and all still chat as if we're on the podcast?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Let's do it.
See you next week.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, just quickly, I'm really sorry, by the way, if you got any adverts on your podcast, we have just monetized it, which is great for us because it means, you know, the podcast can start doing wonderful things, which is excellent. However, some of you got adverts that were in the wrong language. We're working on it. We're trying to fix it.
Yeah.
I think just let it roll.
Someone in Kent said they got a German like Lidl or Audi advert. So it's you've not been transported to another dimension. We have just not quite nailed it yet, but we're going to get there.
Yeah. And we're very close to 20,000 subscribers on YouTube as well. So please subscribe if you're not subscribed already. So yeah. And yeah, I think that's
okay, now
it.
We can go.
Right. See you later.
Cheers.
See you next week.
Cheers.
See you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.